Do a best in love. Do a best in love. Don't obsess. Don't obsess. Do our best in love. There are limitations to our time and our patience, our inability to process this flood of information might move us toward aggravation instead of inspiration. But I'll say without hesitation, as an object of meditation, we can make the best of an imperfect situation if we do our best in love. Do our best in love. Don't obsess. Don't obsess. Do our best in love. Do our best in love.
Well, all right. This is Tom Overt for Civically Engaged. This program has been made possible by funding from the Puffin Foundation. Here is some audio recorded on April 18th, 2011, at a forum on local food hosted by Edible Columbus and Local Matters. The forum meets every third Monday at 6 p.m. at Wild Goose Creative. So what are you doing with the community gardening projects, and what do you have so far? And this is Seth Draeger, D-R-A-E-G-E-R. Nice to meet you, Seth.
On the south side, around the area of 104 and Parsons Avenue, I am going to be having a community garden where you can rent plots and grow whatever you want, and also a communal garden where anybody can come and help out, and anybody can come and harvest what they want. So if you live in that area, definitely keep your eye out for it. I'll make sure I put up plenty of signs in the area when the time comes, so keep your eye out.
So you're going to just have to get a lease from the city, right?
Yep, yeah.
You know when that's going to happen?
Should be in the next week or two. They had to delay it for a while because they changed the way the process works, but it's $10 for a year.
So how do people get a hold of you in your garden?
Just keep your eye out for signs at the moment. But one of them is on Parsons Avenue, right by Marion Road. The other one is on Locke Avenue, which is right off of Groveport Road and 104.
Oh, Nick Stanich. S-T-A-N-I-C-H. Thanks, Nick.
Franklinton Gardens is an urban gardening initiative right now down in the near west side of Columbus. They are working on, I think it's selling 4 gardens just west of downtown. And if you want to get involved with that group, they are always in need of volunteers. They can be found. Just Google Franklinton Gardens, find their website, get a hold of Patrick Kaufman or Ashley Laughlin. Their website or their email address is on the website. But they've been around for 5 years. They're up to 9 gardens right now and are pretty powerful.
They're growing food, right?
Yeah, they're growing food for the community right now. And me. And yeah, I grow my own food. I work on a bit of an edible landscape project down in Ed Franklinton. 1/8 acre, maxing out the perennial potential for perennial food production, and then interplant with with annuals. So
what do you do with your harvest?
Well, I didn't have the capacity to process it last year. We had too much. And I gave about 3/4 of it away to friends and people at the university, and then some to just food kitchen. So.
So you're thinking of getting in some of the processing aspects, like canning, or?
I'd love to. You know, it's just a matter of scale. You get so much, it's really hard to process it all on your stove with a little 5-gallon stock pot. So there's some sort of massive processing facility in town that I knew of that I could easily access. You know, it'd be easy to take it over there and can a lot.
But. Think there's any usefulness in people getting together with gardeners around the city and sort of pooling resources, whether it's vehicles or machinery or seeds, whatever?
Sure, I think initially we need to get more of a understanding of who's gardening around the city, though. There's not that much of a established resource that connects everyone, I don't believe, at the moment. So I don't know if we can really assess how many gardeners we have. If we have enough gardeners, then the scale could be great enough that could be a useful, really positive resource.
Are you able for someone to get a hold of you? Are you on Facebook, or how does someone contact you, or you're pretty much not really much of an activist? I don't know if you want people. Do you want people contacting you or not?
Sure.
How do they do it?
You can, go ahead and Facebook me.
All right.
Nick Stanich.
All right, cool.
You can just go to Ohio State's website and find my email address, stanish.13@osu.edu. Right, right. That's easy.
Thanks, Nick.
Sure, thank you.
So Tim Price?
Correct.
Tim Price, okay. Can you tell us what you're doing in terms of your involvement in growing food?
Yeah, I'm basically your typical urban gardener. I've got about a... I guess my plot's about 20 by 10.
20 by 10 feet, okay.
Yeah. Doing Swiss chard, green beans, peas, spinach, some mixed greens, habanero peppers, cayenne peppers.
You started them indoor right now?
Right now I've got peas, green beans, and the habaneros I seed started.
That seems like a lot for a small plot.
It probably is. I haven't actually planted it yet, so I may be giving away a lot of plants.
Okay, so you have the seedlings right now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Have you read about like how to plant companion crops to minimize your pest issues?
Yeah, I just started reading up on that this spring, so I'm going to try to kind of incrementally bring that in and see how successful I can be.
What sources have you read? What do you refer people to?
I picked up a couple books at the OFA conference back in February. I'm horrible with titles and names, okay. So I don't remember.
I had something by Edward C. Smith called The Vegetable Gardener's Bible. It was pretty good, well illustrated. I don't know if you heard of that or not.
No, but I'll keep that in mind because illustrations are always a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Pictures are good.
Are you interested in working with other people, neighbors or other people around the city on gardening projects?
Yeah, sure. I haven't actively sought that out or anything, but I'd definitely be interested in looking into it.
What do you think has stopped you? Is your work schedule or other things?
Yeah. My problem right now is I actually work in Dayton. So I leave the house at 7 in the morning. I get home 7 at night, 7:30.
So a lot of your gardening's on the weekend?
Yeah, right now most of it are... It'll be in the evenings starting shortly as the weather gets better. But right now it's all pretty much weekend.
I see. So it's probably easier for you to wait to, you know, go home or wake up on the weekend and do it than to try to coordinate your schedule with other gardeners on the other side of the city maybe. It could be done, but that'd be on another level.
Exactly. And I'm working on that too. I mean, working in Dayton for the rest of my life is not going to happen. So.
Is there, do you want people to get a hold of you or not through Facebook or some do, some don't? That's why I asked the question.
Yeah, sure. I'm on Facebook. It's what the hell's my Facebook?
Tim Price.
I think it's TPrice7744. Or just look up Tim Price in Columbus.
Right, because they mentioned us.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, Tim. Unless there's more you wanted to say.
Hey, nope. I'm good.
Thanks a lot.
You bet. All right, you are a real farmer. I'm talking to an actual real farmer here. I'm kind of sort of a gardener, but I have not earned the title of farmer. But you think without, you know, I guess you can call yourself a farmer, right?
I think so.
All right.
I think so. I would call my husband a farmer anyway. All right. I defer to him. But yes, we are, we're Wayward Seed, and we are about to be a certified organic farm, actually. This is our first year. We are about 20 acres of certified organic heirloom vegetables, heritage vegetables from.
Explain to people what heirloom is.
Heirloom. Basically, heirlooms are varieties that are not in commercial production. They're varieties that have been saved over time. They're varieties that we should be protecting. They are not genetically modified. They are as pure and natural as they come.
They're not in commercial production?
A lot of them are not. You will find that a lot of the heirlooms that we select, we find them from small farmers that are saving seeds. And you can get such a very, very small quantity of them that it would be impossible to grow them commercially. Now, not to say that's true for all heirlooms, because there are some larger seed-saving entities out there, but the ones we choose, we typically try to find some from here in Ohio.
So, say an average person like me, how do I save seeds? I see, you know, an apple has these seeds in it. I mean, or watermelon, when I grew watermelon last year. Now, is that going to be an inferior product if I take those seeds, dry them out, and plant them again? I mean, that's what I've read, but what can we do as far as seed saving is concerned?
Well, it's about keeping them and proper storage, proper temperature, things of that nature. We start with tomatoes. We have saved a lot of our seeds from tomatoes or squash. Winter squash is a good one. And so we just essentially, if you have, it's about having enough space. Of course, wanting to maintain their original form. Saving the seeds, we have, Adam would be a better person to tell you what exactly the germination rate has been, because sometimes it's not quite as successful, whether it was that they were stored improperly or maybe they were exposed to too much light, things like that. But we don't do a lot of seed saving now of our own because of space constraints. You know, we just don't have, we don't have enough space to spread the plants out and make sure they can grow and be in their original form.
Where's your farm?
We are just on the very east side of Marysville, Plain City area off of Route 33 and 42.
That's too far from that factory farm then. There's probably about 5 or 6 million chickens out there, like New Day and Daylay.
I was interested to hear that because I did not know that, to tell you the truth. But then again, it's, you know, do we pay attention to all the things that really don't have a lot to do with us? And and so we have 5 acres there, and then we do, like he said, work with a dairy farm about 15 minutes up the road off of Route 29. So
what you're doing is a little bit different than in other words, have you visited the city here in Columbus and you see some of the urban farms that are going on? How they'll have raised beds, or people have food growing on some rooftops, or some garden plots, or some plots of land that you can use. What do you think of that? I mean, in some ways that's different than what you're doing out in the country, but do you see any common cause with urban farming and small-scale sustainable farming that you're doing?
Absolutely. I think it's important for people to learn how to grow their own food. And we have, even though we want to provide you with your food, we want you to be able to grow some of your own stuff too. And we've done in the past some work with urban farms and people who are doing the gardening and trying to help them learn and develop their techniques and offering them materials to help them get started, because it's very important. It's very important.
It's great. What urban farms have you worked with?
We've worked with Everett School, which is not, it's no longer Everett. It's over on the other side, Crestview and Indianola. We've done work with their school garden. Adam drew up plans for, they have a brand new, I don't want to call it a facility, but a brand new educational garden. We've also done some work with a couple of employees that have community gardens through their churches or through just small community groups that they're a part of. So if we can provide them with some seeds that help them to grow some of their own food or some of our seed garlic, that's great.
Anything else?
I don't think so. Thanks very much for coming. Sure. We're glad you made it.
You got this right. So it's Jamie, J-A-I-M-E. What's your last name?
M-O-O-R-E
and Wayward Seed Farms. Thank you. Yeah, I buy your stuff through the Clintonville Community Market. I'm trying to think what it is. Lots of potatoes?
Yeah, possibly.
Lots of red potatoes.
Yeah.
I've bought a lot of red potatoes off you. Probably about 200 pounds worth.
Definitely chat with Adam if you want.
Oh, yeah.
He's definitely far more knowledgeable than I am.
So I guess I can keep buying your produce through the Clintonville Community Market then.
Yeah.
You have a CSA too.
Yes, we do. We have CSA, we do farmers markets, and a little bit of wholesale restaurant, but mostly farmers markets and CSA right now.
Yeah. Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
I'm talking to Yolanda Moser of Godman Guild. Can you tell us how people can get involved with what you're doing?
Well, right now I'm doing a lot of work with the Wyland Park Community Garden at Godman Guild and trying to bring together the people there in that neighborhood, because they have this huge community challenge grant that's going on in the Wyland Park area with HUD and MORPC being able to help fix the disparities with healthful food access in that neighborhood. So one of the biggest things is the fact that Godman Guild has had a community garden there for the past 6 years, and using that platform and the fact that we're one of the 12 hub gardens with Franklin Park Community, Franklin Park's Growing to Green program. So using our space to be able to give education and a communal space for people to come and to be able to learn about community gardening and learn about healthful food access, and then finding ways to collaborate with the other things that are going on in that.
What are you growing right now? Or are you going to start growing? You got some
seedlings inside? Well, what's going on?
Well, actually, we had some weather issues with our greenhouse, and like the roof kind of ripped off because that's Ohio and Ohio weather and wind. But we do
the roof ripped off of what?
Of our greenhouse.
Oh, okay.
So right now I'm getting some beets and like some cabbage because we have a nice kind of shady area, and broccoli and cauliflower, and getting those together. And I'm really excited because I have golden beets, and so I think they're really beautiful.
What's the size of the gardens?
It is a quarter acre space, and it's on the grounds of the Godman Guild.
So who plans out what to grow? I imagine you got some crop rotation from year to year, right?
Somewhat. We do have some crop rotations, and with some of the, because we have some plots that are designated for some of the food pantries that are in the area, so we rotate them out just so we're not having some issues. So I know last year we had some blossom end rot and things like that from growing the same.
What did you have last year? I'm sorry.
Blossom end rot, which were some of the things that issues that we had last year with the tomatoes because there wasn't enough calcium in the soil. So just working on that and being able to remediate the soil and starting to grow some other things that will replenish the nutrients in the soil. And so I'm really excited.
How are you building up the soil? Are you using any compost?
So we have a ginormous compost bin in our community garden. It was we did have some people who didn't quite understand composting and put a lot of sticks and things like that on top, but we were able to take the sticks off the top and had some beautiful, rich compost under there. And also we got some compost and some hummus and things from Franklin Park Conservatory from a grant through our the food pantry that grows their food on our plot.
So are these, some of the compost consists of food scraps?
Yes.
Where's that coming from?
Coming from the folks at the Godman Guild, just all of the staff. We have about 50 plus staff that are there in the building. And
this is a school in there? Isn't there a preschool, I think?
Yeah, there is.
So some of the scraps, like when the kids eat lunch? And they find ways to keep the dairy out, or just so it's vegetable scraps, fruit and vegetables.
Exactly, and that's exactly what we do. We have a head start there, and just because of all of the staff that work there and a lot of the programs that we have people in and out of there, and we're able to save a lot of the food scraps.
So how do people volunteer? I mean, they have to sign up, sign a form?
To be able to volunteer, you would have to contact me, which I'm the Wyland Park Community Garden Coordinator, and you could email me at garden@godmanguild.org. And when you email me, then I'll give you like a little brief orientation, let you know a little bit of the history and what it takes to be able to garden with us at Godman Guild, because we are an organic garden, and some of the things that we do as a group of people. And
what times of days? Is it on weekends or weeknights, or it just depends?
Any day that you're free, for the most part. We usually have most of our full-out garden work days where everyone comes and does the communal plots on Saturdays. That's because that's when most people are available. And to be able to get one of the personal plots, we don't ask for your money, but we ask for your time and coming to help garden in the communal plots.
I see. Can someone just show up on their own and start the work? Or is it an open space like that?
Well, we try to. I'd rather have people so they understand what we're doing there in the garden instead of just showing up.
Once they do that, though, once they've met with you and done the paperwork, and if they're free on, a Thursday afternoon and they didn't get a hold of you, can they go there and weed? Or where's your water source coming from?
We actually have a water spigot attached to the building, but people can totally show up after we've done everything, and I have people, you know, you get a key from me. You have to sign a release saying you have a key, but you get a key from me. You have access to all of the tools that we have in our shed, and you're able to come whenever time you're available. You just sign in and say, I've worked for this many hours, and that's how I know that you've done your part to be able to have you've done your time to be able to have your personal plot.
Sounds like you're using municipal water right now. Have you looked into any rain catchment, like rain barrels?
We do actually have rain barrels. Currently, we're only using the spigot on the building because in the area, because we have a lot of young children in the area, when they don't see things growing in the garden, they come over and they meddle, to be honest. And we did have some kids that knocked over our rain barrels. But a lot of times, honestly, when people see things growing in there, and because when it is growing season, there are so many people in there that the kids don't come and they don't bother any of the items there. And so I think that's a really big testimony to the things that community gardens can do in neighborhoods like Wyland Park.
Anything else?
No, that's about it. Right. Hopefully to see you in the garden. We do have some events coming up.
What are the events coming up? Please tell us.
On April 30th, we have an event called Grub and Groove in the Garden, where we're collaborating art and ideas of how art can collaborate with your food. So we have Transit Arts coming and doing some performances to be able to engage the teens. They do hip-hop and break dance.
Are they a national company, or Transit Arts is called?
No, Transit Arts is actually an organization started by Jackie Calderon, who was formerly with Kappa. And so she does a lot of work with youth and engaging them to be able to express themselves through arts. So we have them coming and performing. Then we have PBJ and Jazz coming to do some jazz music in the garden with Local Matters doing a workshop called Food is Art, where kids can make sculptures out of their food. So it's really exciting. The veggie van will be there, and hopefully you'll be there too.
Sounds good. Thanks.
No prop.
Nice to meet you.
All right, nice to meet you.
Saturday I do my waiter job.
All right, I'm talking to AJ Perry. You are the owner of the Sassafras.
Operator of Sassafras Bakery.
Oh, okay. So tell us about what you're doing. I assume what you're doing connects, besides the food being delicious, I assume it connects with supporting local economies and supporting sustainable farming practices, right?
That's right. Yes. Everything I make is made from scratch, and I buy as many local ingredients as I possibly can. I work with Lynn's Apple Farm in New Albany, Jamie and Adam at Wayward Seed, Crema Nut Company in Grandview. I get my honey, and I grow my own herbs in my backyard.
So if you don't mind me asking, is this your full-time gig here? This brings in the money, or something you're doing on the side? Like me, I'm doing the reporting thing on the side.
Right. I was an art director at Limited Brands for 10 years. And okay. In August of 2007, I was laid off. And so I started the bakery out of that layoff. And I was kind of straddling both doing the bakery and doing freelance graphic design work on the side. And I've continued to do that for the last 3.5 years. And the scales are tipping such that I'm doing more bakery business now than graphic design work. And I'm actually currently looking to open a storefront so that I can do bakery work exclusively.
Oh, so I imagine you, but you've been cooking for many years, even when you were working with Limited, right?
That's right, yes.
Okay, all right. And this has developed into something else right now.
Yes.
What are you thinking of in terms of your storefronts?
In terms of what?
Like you say, you might have a storefront somewhere. You thinking of Short North or Clintonville or... other part of the city?
In a central hub of the city, whether it is Short North, Grandview, potentially Clintonville.
Oh, cool. That's good. Anything else you want to say? I mean, you do all this cooking yourself at home, and you
That's
put it together?
Right.
If you don't mind me asking, how many sales you think an average week, or it probably fluctuates? Depends on the season. Probably, the holidays are probably pretty busy.
Right. The season for me really starts with the farmer's market. I'm at the Worthington Farmer's Market in the summer, the outdoor market on Saturdays. Yeah. So that's really when my season starts, and I go full bore from May through Christmas, and then sort of January through April is more my slow period. So.
Do you have any employees?
Not at this time.
Oh, okay. It wouldn't be me. I don't think I have the skills for this. I threw everything into a big pot and cook it as a stew, and I put it in mason jars. Every now and then I get lucky, and it's pretty good. But I'm curious, though. How do you get your recipes? Is it you just trial and error over the years, or you probably read a bit? How has that evolved?
Yeah, some are actually family recipes. I grew up on a very rural area in Northwest Ohio, and come from a long line of home cooks. And so I've got family recipes, and I've created some recipes on my own, like you said, through trial and error. And some are out of classic cookbooks that I've enjoyed through the years.
What do you think the potential is as far as food connecting with people on another level? Like, this food tastes good, no doubt, and someone could like the idea of supporting a local artisan. But what do you think of the idea that food... eating this food here can get people to think about things that are beyond that, whether it's issues of justice for migrant workers or taking better care of our soil or our water. Is that a bit of am I reaching here? Is that a bit of a stretch, or you think there is a connection?
No, I absolutely think there's a connection. I know working with my customers that I've retained at the Worthington Farmers Market that it really does matter to them that I handcraft all of the product that I produce, and it also matters to them that I do get my ingredients from local sources. So it really, people care about buying locally and buying from people. It is about community and about relationships.
Finding common ground?
Yes.
And what role do you see food playing in terms of breaking the ice, so to speak, or building bridges among maybe would-be adversaries? Have you seen food kind of
bring people together?
Sure.
Yeah. At least that's what I keep hearing. It seems that way. It's a nice way to break the ice is to give somebody a pie,
yes.
And it could build the bonds.
Yes. A handcrafted pie.
A handcrafted pie. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, AJ.
Thank you.
Cool. And I got all the info here, AJ Perry, and it's AJ Perry at sassafasbakery.com. Thanks.
All right.
Awesome. How do you, is it Cameron?
Yes,
Cameron. C-A-M-E-R-O-N. Any last name or not?
Sure, it's Goodyear, like
Goodyear, just like tire. All right. So I'm a guy at Gardens. I make most of my money as a waiter, actually selling industrialized grown food, but and I do freelance reporting too. But you're an actual farmer, a young farmer.
I'm a young farmer.
Well, all right, I'll let you talk.
New breed.
Well, so what are you growing?
I don't know.
How many hours a day do you work as a young farmer?
As a young farmer, on the days that I'm on, I am working usually from 7 a.m. until the work is done. I don't work on the farm. I'm actually a farm worker. So I live in the city, and then I drive out. So I wake up around 5:30 and then get ready and haul out to the rural area where I work around Marysville in Union County, and then work sometimes till 5 or 6. And
how old are you?
I'm 23.
So how'd you get that job?
I got that job. I worked on my first farm when I was 19. I did a woofing program in Durango, Colorado, and worked on a small farm garden for a summer. And then since then, worked with Local Matters on their veggie van program, doing food justice work in urban areas, trying to create access in food deserts. Then also worked at the Greener Grocer, who's doing similar work. And then recently got back from Nicaragua, where I did a permaculture design course. And now I'm back, and I want to learn how to grow food for the people.
Permaculture design course in Nicaragua. As a student or as the instructor?
As a student.
Oh, okay. Well, that was cool. How much did that cost?
It cost $800 on work study. It's usually like $1,200.
Why Nicaragua?
I graduated from college about a year ago. And was working a 9-to-5, working in food, but not doing exactly what I wanted to be doing. So I wanted a little change of scenery, a little adventure.
Where were you working?
I was was working at the Greener Grocer in the North Market.
Oh, okay.
So I was selling local food, but I wasn't growing it. And so I wanted to go and get some more experience and learn Spanish, learn from our southerly neighbors.
You know, a lot of people say a lot of interesting activism is coming from Latin America. I don't know why a lot of people, like with La Via Campesina, mentioned Latin America. So what do you think about Latin America in that respect, in terms of peasants asserting themselves and trying to take control of the land?
It's interesting because in Nicaragua they had the revolution in the 1970s. Yep.
Sorry. That's fine. In Nicaragua they had
the revolution in the 1970s, and during that time a lot of the land was made public and turned into large cooperatives. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those cooperatives since then have kind of fallen apart, but that has a really, really long history in Nicaragua. That was something that I really enjoyed being a part of. I don't know.
Are there any particular crops you like growing? Like when you see them grow, you're like, yes. Or are there other ones that are kind of like, okay, I'll grow this, but it's not my favorite?
Crops that I particularly love growing. I really, really love kale. I'm a really big kale fan.
Look, do you like the aesthetics of kale, the way it looks as it's growing?
Absolutely. I think it's beautiful when it's growing. I also really love tree crops and fruit, which is really fun. Something that I've been really passionate about is stacking things in the landscape, and so stacking trees and shrubs and then lower shade loving plants, and so seeing all of those things work together is one of my favorite things.
It's like an ecosystem. So you got to train your human mind to kind of, I don't know if they call that biomimicry or not,
to sort of see what relationships are going on, like just complementary crops. Mm-hmm. Certain crops work together better.
Mimicking nature.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. Anything else you want to say?
Not really.
Hey, thanks.
You're welcome.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, was that fun?
Yeah.
That's funny.
The conversations you've been hearing were recorded on April 18th, 2011, at a forum on local food hosted by Edible Columbus and Local Matters. The forum meets every third Monday at 6 p.m. at Wild Goose Creative.